The book of Genesis now, in chapter number 2, and we'll start reading in verse number 7. And the Bible said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." And there's an interesting word, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And the Lord God, there's that phrase again, planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And you may be seated this morning. We've been dealing with this phrase in the garden. Last week, we took just a quick little glimpse or a quick overview of this garden life. We seen the breath of man, how it still takes God to breathe to make a living soul. I'm going to tell you this morning, the day you was born, God breathed the breath of life in you and you became a living soul, and that soul's going to return to its maker someday. There will stand in judgment. Those of us that have been born again by the grace of God will stand and give an account of what we've done in this life. Those that are lost, don't have the blood of Jesus applied, they're going to stand and give an account of what they didn't do in this life. That's accept God's only way to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the garden life, we've seen man in his breath, and we've seen man in his beauties, the man in his business, the man in his boundaries. We've all got boundaries that we have to stay in bounds with. So we've seen these boundaries of the garden. Then we close with the bride of the garden. That's where I want to take up this morning, if God would help us. And we've dealt with the man of the garden, but this morning I want to deal with the marriage of the garden. It's a lot different in a wedding than a marriage. This society's having a whole lot of weddings, but our day and hour don't experience many marriages. It's a lot of different. I am reminded that the first marriage in the Bible happened in a garden. The Bible said that God placed him, and I want us to look first of all at the place of the marriage. The place of the marriage. And the Bible said in Genesis 2 and verse 8, it happened in a garden. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. We see this marriage takes place. In verse number 23, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones. God's brought the woman to him. Flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." The place of the marriage, I want to say this, that it happened first of all in a garden. Sin brought houses. You see, God put man and woman in a garden. Can you imagine the roof they had was the canopy of heaven? My, what painting they experienced on their ceiling. In an open atmosphere where God placed Adam and Eve, put them in a garden. And oh, this roof was a great spectacle to watch. I mean, it changed in the day and it changed in the night. What a wonderful rooftop they experienced. What a wonderful floor covering they had as they walked through the green meadows of the Garden of Eden toward east. Oh, they had everything that was imaginable on their floor. Every good thing to look at was on their walls. I'm going to tell you, it don't get much better than what God's made. I walked outside this morning and the birds were singing and the sun had come up. And By the way, can I tell you, I hear a bird singing, telling me one of these days the sun's coming up. It may be dark right now, but honey, the birds will be singing it, and the sun's going to come up on that morning. And it don't get no better than just being outside in what God has designed and what God has decreed. Oh, this world is a wonderful place that God has made. We see the place of the marriage. It was a garden place. Now, it was not a war zone. It was not a desert, but it was a garden. I got to thinking this morning as I was looking over this outline that God had had me to pencil in. I'd got to thinking about his rooftop and his floor and his walls and his thermostat. Everything was just right. I mean, the Bible said they were not even clothed. They didn't even need a coat on. I mean, God had exactly the right temperature. I wonder what the temperature is at your house. Some of you live in a very cold place. Some of you live in a very hot and hostile place. This morning didn't cost you no more. But I'm telling you today, the place of the marriage was in a garden place. And God intends the marriage and the home to be a place of a garden. A good place. Mine, this December, I'll be married 27 years. I'm going to tell you, our garden has not always been what God intended it to be, but I can say this morning by the grace of God, today it is a garden. It is a place that I want to come home to. And I thank God of the place of the garden. The garden place. And then secondly, in verse number 8, watch your Bible in Genesis 2, not only is it a garden place, but it was a guided place. The Bible said the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. It was a guided place, and He put the man whom He had formed. Now I want you to notice God did not create him in the garden. God created the garden for man, and He put man over in the garden. And a lot of times before we realize and appreciate the things that God has made for us, we got to be on the other side of the fence. Can you imagine when God created the garden and He said, "Now, okay, Adam, I'm going to put you on the other side of the fence over into the garden of God." I'm telling you, you that are born again by the grace of God, sometimes we had to be on the other side of the fence. Oh, we appreciate this side of the fence. Can I tell you the worst day in the child of God's day is a blessed day. I'm glad for my garden this morning. See, sometimes you got to get over there before you appreciate over here. I don't want back over there. I done been over there too long. Thank God that He took him and He made a transition and He put him over in the garden. It was a guided place. He put man. It's not by accident of where you live this morning. No, my God's a lot bigger than that. We see that it was a guided place. God led him over. Isn't that amazing? I was raised in Middle Tennessee out in a sort of a country setting, a country atmosphere. And wound up on a place that's hardly on the map. Bowden, Georgia. You think that was some kind of accident that I went to Florida and met my wife? That was no accident. God put me down to where I'm at in my garden this morning. It is a guided place. Thirdly, it must be a guarded place. The Bible said in Genesis 2 and verse number 10, the Bible said, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And I want to say this, whatever God grows, He'll be sure to water. And from thence it was parted, and it went into four parts, or four heads. And the name of it was Pison. It compassed the whole land of Havilah. And He said, where there is gold, I want to say that the garden can be a golden place. You can have some golden opportunities if you know how to see about your garden. gold in that land. Boy, I tell you, they had gold, but we got the gospel. What a wonderful place in our garden. Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, it's a golden place. I would rather be at my house than your house. Oh, preacher, won't you never come see us? Because I'd rather be at my house. I'd rather be at my house than on the job. My house is a golden place, the garden. Not only is it a guided place, but it is a golden place. It's a wonderful place to come home to. It's not always been that way. What you talking about, preacher? Because I was stupid. Like some of you. Oh, it's a golden place. I want to say, fourthly, this place of marriage, it's a guarded place, it's a guided place, it's a golden place, but it has to be a guarded place. He told him in verse number 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it, and to, there it is, to keep it. Now, I want to say this. It's up to you how you keep your garden. Me and I'm going to preach to you a little while this morning. It's up to you. He said he put the man in charge, what? To dress it and what? To keep it. Well, my home's not what it ought to be. May it could be your fault. Nobody's thrown a songbook yet, have they? Say, well, I don't have a wife. Maybe she don't have a husband. I don't have a home. Well, sounds like to me the ball's in your court. God put you there as a guarded place to keep it. And I want to say this, Daddy. If you're going to keep something, then you got to be in charge of it. God has intended for the man to be the head of the home. To keep watch of his garden. You better watch your garden thing get ugly on you, get all growed up. It takes some maintenance to keep a garden. My wife told me this morning, she said, I'll tell you why Eve probably got in trouble, because her husband was probably out hunting, fishing, or playing golf. Yeah, man. You got to keep your garden, and don't expect things to be the right tip of tear when you get home and you've been gone all day and she's left there. We find this morning this place of the garden. It is a wonderful place in the eyes of the Lord. I tell you what is a terrible thing is some of these little children have to be raised in the environment that they're in. I thank God I come up under a mom and daddy that loved each other. We didn't have a lot of things in this world, but I tell you, we had something this world knew nothing about. That was love, L-O-V-E, love. I mean, I heard my mom and daddy talking about it. I've seen it in action. I'm telling you, my daddy loved my mama. And at night time, you could set your watch. He is at home. Amen. You boys are these coon dogs, you better watch it. I'm telling you that this place of the marriage is very important to God. By the way, it's so important that He gave us a whole chapter in the early part of the Bible to teach us, to illustrate to us about the place of our garden. He said it must be a guarded place. Are you doing your part in your place this morning? Notice this. He said this in verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Sounds like works involved. Works involved. Dress it and to keep it. Boy, can I crow a little bit this morning? My wife's birthday this week. So my kids, I know after I'm done preaching, they'll say, well, Daddy, the band's playing, and Daddy, you did all this, and good for you. But I took me a little cleaning campaign Friday. It's amazing how things get out of whack on the outside of the house. Yeah, I'd rather been down there catching them fish. I'd rather been out there hitting that ball. But sometimes a man's got to work around the house. Dress it and keep it. Pull up, look like the Clampets live there. Old stuff I've done been took the trash pile months ago. It's just piling up. Piling up. Then you walk home, she'll say, honey, are you ever going to take that stuff off? If you take it off, she'd quit getting on you. The place of the garden. Sometimes it acquires work. God said He put us there to dress it and to keep it. Watch this, husband. You ever come home and your wife look like this? You know what's your problem? It wasn't her problem. It was your problem. You say, well, it ain't my problem. Sure it is. You're living in that. The place of the marriage. It must be a guarded place. It's up to you. It ain't even up to her. Ain't that something? Now you go get the Bible. He said, I'm going to put you there to dress it and to keep it. I wonder, how are you making it up? What's it look like? Sound like to me the ball's in our court.
My house ain't near what it ought to be.
Well, the hit dog hollers. Pick the phone up. It's ringing. It's for you. The place of the garden. It's a very important place. And Daddy, it's up to you how you keep it. Place of marriage. Secondly, the providence of marriage. Now, if you'll listen to me this morning, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you because God showed me something right here yesterday. The providence of marriage. Now, watch this. The law of providence in verse 18. This is going to really take you back a couple of pews. The law of providence. In chapter 2, verse 18, notice what he said. The Lord God said. Now let me tell you something. He always knows best. And you'll notice that's capital L, capital G, because there's nobody else like him. He's not God half mighty. He's God almighty. The Lord God. The providence of marriage. The law of providence. Then secondly, the love of providence. Look what it said in verse 18. This is what he said. He said, it is not good. Now he loved you before you ever knew anything about him. Not only the law of providence, but the love of providence. He's seen that you needed something, husband. And you didn't even see it yourself. Well, what are you talking about? This love of providence. Oh, he said, it is not good. And Adam didn't even know nothing about it. Adam didn't go to him. God came to him. And you know, that also lets me know something where I'm going to go on to the next point. Not only the law of providence, the love of providence, but notice this, the labor of providence. Verse 18, the labor of providence. What are you saying, preacher? Look what he said. And I will make him a helpmeet for him. Did you know when God was growing this little girl down in Bowden, Georgia, he is growing her for me? Taylor made. Y'all men so whippy. You're so afraid I'm going to get on your little sin this morning. I'm a trying. He made her for me. Said, I'm going to make him something. Now, isn't that amazing? When Adam wasn't even concerned about himself, God was concerned. Can I tell you, sinner friend, when you wasn't even concerned about yourself, God sent the best thing that you could ever have, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, saint, well, you didn't even love yourself. He loved you. The labor of providence. I'll make him. Sound like to me it was a match made in heaven. The labor of providence. Then the lesson of providence. Don't miss this. This will help you. Look in verse 21. The Bible said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, the lesson of providence. What's the lesson of providence? Well, I want to say that she'll come upon you unconsciously. A lot of people, they're making advertisements. Man seeks woman. I mean, some of you, you out looking under every bush. You shaking every bush. You think you're a matchmaker. You better watch out what's on them things. Best thing you can do is just do what he done. Be in love with the Lord. Preacher, I'm single. I'm hunting this spouse. I'm hunting, hunting, hunting. You're going to get in trouble. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about Adam was very secure with Jesus. He was happy in the Lord. And God knew he needed something when he didn't even know, so he put him to sleep. The best thing you can do, I tell you how to wait on your wife, is to go to sleep and let God bring her to you. When I went to Panama City Beach, Florida, I wasn't looking for a wife. I was down there with my mom and daddy on a fishing trip. But God brought her to me. Isn't that amazing? The same day, through the providence of God, this family would take a vacation, this family would take a vacation, and this so happened we met out by the poolside. The liberals say, well, that was luck. That wasn't luck of the draw, honey. That was divine providence. Boy, I'll never forget the first day I met my wife. Hallelujah. She told her mom and daddy first week, she said, that's the man I'm going to marry. They laughed. But when they pulled in the driveway at Bowden, Georgia, the phone was ringing. He said, Patsy, hurry up and let us in the house. The phone's ringing. Said, hello. I said, is Renee there? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the providence of Mary. God's behind the scenes. And if you'll wait on him, he'll send you the right one. Providence of Mary. Well, preacher, I don't have a husband. Preacher, I don't have a wife. Then be happy in the Lord and go to sleep. Because, see, Adam, it didn't bother him. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus. Can I tell you that? He was just happy in the Lord. God can take that place. You hear me this morning? If you'll get so consumed with him, you won't care what's going on in this old world. Adam was a happy man. He's just walking around in the presence of Christ. This is where I want to really plow, and it's 10 to 12. I had to run a few rabbits. They got up this morning. But we're fixing to shoot and eat. The place of marriage. The providence of marriage. But lastly, the pain of marriage. Look where she come from. Come from his side. And that reminds me, this thing of marriage sometimes brings a pain. Some of you boys saying, oh yeah, now preacher, you're preaching. Pain of marriage. Sure, it brings pain. I want to say this. Now you watch. If you'll stick with me, the Word of God will help you this morning. There's the pain of creation. Verse 21, she was taken from the rib. You know where you was took from? The dust of the earth. But God took her out of man. The pain of creation. And I don't know how long it's going to take this to dawn on you, but she's different. I don't believe God never intended for a woman to put on gloves and step in a ring. I don't believe He ever intended a woman to fly a fighter jet or to be in a foxhole. I don't believe that. But I'm telling you, she's different. And the sooner you realize she's different, the better your garden's going to be. The pain of creation. Sometimes I just can't figure her out. Sometimes she cries. Sometimes she laughs. Sometimes she's the happiest person in the world. But I'm going to tell you, she's different. And boy, it didn't take me long. You know, when we was dating, everything was fine. Boy, when we moved in, when we got married and moved in, let me get that right. I found out she is different. I mean, she don't put her toothbrush up like me. She don't roll the tube of the toothpaste up as she uses it. I found out the pain of creation was different. Buddy, when I would hold her hand and kiss her night on Friday night at the doorstep, pick her back Saturday night. This different when we was there 24/7. I done found out it was different. Boy, ain't you glad God created a woman? Didn't fill this world full of hard heads. He could have had his God. He can do anything he wants. So we see this pain of marriage. I'm going to tell you right now, your pastor is going to say this at 12:08. Everything ain't going to be so lovely at times. Don't you think in going on 27 years, there's been a few knockdown drag outs? I'd be lying if I said it wouldn't. My wife took a banana one time and throwed the banana across. You did that. And the thing about it, Miss Peggy, she ought to hit me with it. The pains of marriage. There's sometimes it's going to involve pain. Of creation. Cool, can you imagine when Adam woke up? Pain. Creation. Secondly, the pain of coexistence. Right by his side. You know, when you get married, ain't it amazing how little that bed gets? Boy, I remember that first 2 or 3 weeks. We didn't sleep none hard. I mean, it's just awful. I said, honey, I'm just used to sleeping by myself. I mean, when you walk in, there's somebody right by you. Get ready to go brush your teeth in one sink and a little single wide. One bathroom. The pain of coexistence. Right by his side. Can I tell you this morning, at times there will involve pain because she's so close to you. Pain of coexistence. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 3:7. Boy, I like this right here. 1 Peter 3:7, about this pain of coexistence. The Bible said this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being, here it is, heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The pain of coexistence right by his side. Then the pain of change. In verse 22, the Bible said that the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. The pain of change. We're creatures of habit. Boy, a lot of you fellas got bad habits. Let me rephrase that on the outline. We fellas have a lot of bad habits. Just throw your stuff down wherever you leave it. Phone's ringing, pick it up. The pain of change we're creatures have had. And then watch what happened now. This is where it's fixing to get good. You ready? Verse 22, the pain of challenge. Watch. Verse 22, and he brought her unto the man. Guess what, sir? She's yours. And that's a challenge. The pain of challenge. What you gonna do now, bad boy, bad boy? She's yours. What you gonna do? Sure, the pain of challenge. What you gonna do now? He brought her to you. She's yours. Sound like to me this thing's got personal. The pain of challenge. I want to say this, she's very sensitive. Handle with care. She's very sensitive. She's a different creature than you are. And God brought her unto you for a reason. He made her for you. Now what you going to do with her? You better be careful how you treat her. I seen something yesterday. Me and a preacher friend was out enjoying the fruits of the labor on the golf course. And it was a sign nailed down. This is what it said. Beware, sensitive area, do not hit. What's that mean? I mean, she's very sensitive. A lot of you think she's your buddy. Just slap around, knock on her, say anything, and wonder why she's squalling all the time. The challenge. I want to read this to you now. If you'll take some notes, it's going to help you. The pain of challenge. She brought her to you, and I want to say this. Men, you better be careful of showing more attention to other people than her. You'll hurt her feelings. I want to say you better watch not listening to her if what she feels important. You better watch making jokes about areas of her life. You better watch insulting her in front of others. You're going to put marks on her that won't never come out. My wife ain't perfect, but I'm not going to insult her in front of others. And I tell you something too, Tarzan, you ain't perfect neither. The pain of challenge. Making jokes about areas of her life. Insulting her in front of others. Using careless words before you think through how they will affect her. Being tactless when pointing out her weaknesses or blind spots. Lecturing her when she needs to be comforted or encouraged. I don't know about you, but I like folks to encourage me. Instead of always stepping on me. What about the things she does right? What about things she does right? Get off the things she's doing wrong. Get on a few things she's doing right. pain of challenge. Being unaware of her needs. She's different. I know all you need is a four-wheeler and a shotgun, but she don't need them things. Being unaware of her needs, and sometimes I tell you what she needs is you. Being ungrateful. Boy, I'm the messiest thing. Sometimes at night I get out of the recliner. Y'all gonna think ugly, you preacher. And I'll go in there on the counter, and I'll leave my glass and my bowl of popcorn. I'll just go climb right into bed. And under there was the garbage can. It would have took just one more step to unlatch a little latch and open that drawer and say, oh, I'm the only one that does that, I can tell. And you know, ain't this amazing what we've done when we just pull off our clothes and just throw them in a pile? Oh, she'll pick them up. Hey, ladies, did y'all go home getting the dinner line? Yeah, man, preacher. Pain of challenge. Being ungrateful. Watch this. You better watch this. Ignoring her at social gatherings. It means a lot to her you sit with her. Hold her hand. Watch this, bonehead. Being unwilling to admit when you was wrong. Sometimes we've got to admit, and sorry goes a long way, if you mean it. Not telling her how important she is to you. Sometimes I say, Miss Renee, you're a wonderful wife. Boy, I'm telling you what, it takes her to another level. Yeah. You're a good mama, too. You're a good preacher's wife. And I appreciate how you do. I love you, too, honey. I can tell some of you ain't getting it. Not telling her how important she is. Taking her for granted. Watch this. Being preoccupied with your own goals and needs, making her feel like she doesn't count. You being so preoccupied with your goals and desires, and you treat her like she don't even live. It's all about me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Y'all know how off balanced I used to be? My bass boat cost more than what we lived in. That's where my priorities was. Me, 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 me. New shotgun come out, I want it. Well, what's she got to wear to church? I don't know, she'll be all right. Some of you look at me like, you really was like that? Oh, I was worse than that. She wants to feel special. She wants to feel a part of the home. The pain of challenge. Somebody said, we ought to be men like what we'd want our boys to be and what we'd want our little girls to marry. Being preoccupied with your own goals and needs. What about how she feels? Not being grateful to her. Did you give her something for her birthday? What about anniversary?
Oh, we've been married so long.
Oh, really? No, well, no wonder it's a tragedy. Look at that kind of attitude you've got. Miss Flo, this year, for Valentine's, I made my wife a custom card. Laid it by the sink. What you talking about, preacher? I'm just trying to help you. She's got feelings. And the one you're married to got feelings too. Miss Sherry, come. Crowd's getting restless. They've had a bait. How do we make our wives feel? Let me ask you this. This is what Jesus said, something I've never been able to really grasp. But this is what he said. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. You know, sometime you ought to just take her out for Sunday lunch. I mean, you know, if you get this down, it'll help you.
Well, I was raised the one with the most toys and the biggest arms won.
Yeah, you're not going to make it long in this thing of marriage. She's different. And I'm going to tell you what, some things you say have hurt her feelings just like that. Just like that. Takes them a while to get over it, too. You know something? I'm convinced the reason churches are in a mess is because the marriages are in a mess. I'm convinced of that. God wrote in this Bible how we're to keep it. This morning I want to give an altar call. I want to open up this altar. I want to tell you that your marriage can be exactly what God intended it to be. It could be a garden if you'll listen to what this Bible has to say.